Thank you for your welcome, Josie. It's great to be back sharing with you once again. Welcome to this place of worship. We've come together this morning to put God first in our lives, to honour him for who he is and all that he means to us. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice in it. On a day that the clocks have gone back an hour, we're reminded that the whole of time is in the safe keeping of God's love and presence. The Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And in the midst of uncertainty in the world around us, we come to one who offers hope. We come to one who is worthy of praise and adoration. We come to the one who has blessed us with new life in our Saviour, Jesus. So as the psalmist declares, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures and his faithfulness to all generations. And so we pray. Lord, this is your day, and we shall praise you. This is your day, and we shall declare your name. This is your day, and we shall worship a risen Saviour and our King. Amen. Going to hear now from God's Word.
Today's reading is Psalm 107, NIV, and also John 6. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. And John says, Jesus walks on the water. When evening came, his disciples went down to the lake, where they got into a boat and sent off across the lake for Capernaum. By now it was dark, and Jesus had not yet joined them. A strong wind was blowing, and the waters grew rough. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water, and they were frightened. But he said to them, "It is I, don't be afraid." Then they were willing to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. Thank you, Lord, for that reading.
Thank you. Jesus says to us this morning, "It is I, don't be afraid." There was once a young man who in his youth professed his desire to become a great writer. When asked to define great, he said, "I want to write stuff that the whole world will read, stuff that people will react to on a truly emotional level, stuff that will make them scream, cry, howl in pain and anger." He now works for Microsoft, writing error messages. Words and phrases can produce an emotional response in us. And sometimes we might feel like this picture we're about to see. It's a very famous picture, The Scream by Edvard Munch. It's displayed in the National Gallery of Norway. It's a picture, isn't it, that evokes all kinds of emotions. Emotions I'm sure at times you can identify with. The disciples in this story were in a place of terror, experiencing emotions, perhaps like those highlighted in this painting. Emotions you might have experienced as you've watched the TV over the last few weeks, wondering what on earth was going on. And the disciples in this story must have wondered what on earth was going on. So let's pray as we hear God's word together. Lord, thank you for your word that is real and relevant and speaks to us today. By your Spirit, please bring blessing, encouragement, challenge, direction, and renewed hope as we share together around these words. Amen. There was a priest, a vicar, and a Baptist minister who go fishing together. They'd been fishing for a while when the priest said he'd forgotten something, so he climbed out of the boat, walked on the water to get it back, and came back the same way. A couple of hours later, the vicar said he'd forgotten something, so he too got out of the boat, walked on the water, fetched it, and came back following the same route. A bit later, the Baptist minister said he also had forgotten something, so he climbed out of the boat and fell into the water. Then the priest asked the vicar, "Do you think we should tell him where the stones are?" And some people like to explain away this miraculous event of Jesus walking on the water in the same way. But as the Matthew account of this story describes, the disciples were a long way from the shore. And the miracle of Jesus walking on the water is part of an important chapter in the Gospel of John, identifying the character and the nature of who Jesus is. This wonder follows on from the feeding of the 5,000, set against the backdrop of the Passover festival. John, through his writing, is making a clear statement that the hero Moses of the Passover accounts is superseded by Jesus. The account in Mark states that after the miraculous feeding of the 5,000, Jesus told his disciples to travel in the boat across the lake to Bethsaida. And as they did so, they were confronted by a huge storm. You'll remember that earlier this year we experienced high winds from a storm that caused severe damage, didn't it? The worst spot was the Isle of Wight, where there were wind speeds of 120 miles an hour being recorded. A few days after this storm, Wendy and I actually happened to be in Highcliffe, staying on the south coast, just a few miles from the Isle of Wight. And part of a cafe that we visited was shut because of structural damage during the storm. And it must have been quite frightening at the time when it was sort of funneling through the channel. And we saw at the time, didn't we, lots of news shots of people just being blown over. They couldn't stand up. I mean, we didn't even dare put our rubbish out the night of the storm. We'd have never seen our bins again. Storms can be scary. And although an inland sea, Galilee was subject to strong winds that made the waters very rough. It was dark, it was stormy, it was blustery. And although as hardened fishermen they were probably used to this kind of weather, they became even more concerned when this ghostly figure walked across the water to them. Their fear might have been prompted by a local superstition that said the appearance of spirits during the night brought disaster. For the Jews, this story had parallels with the episode when Moses led their nation through the waters of the Red Sea. And here in the writing of John, there is a strong link between God working through these historical stories and this current event. Here was the Son of God with authority over the elements. He did not need to part the water, he walked on it. And getting to the boat with the disciples in, Jesus greets them with the words, "It is I." This sounds to you and I like a normal greeting, but in fact the verbs used imply that Jesus is making reference to God's divine name given on Mount Sinai to Moses, "I am who I am." And as the Son of God, Jesus comes to rescue and calm their fears. And it is thought likely the words of Psalm 107, which we had read to us, provide a backdrop to the reporting of this story. "Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. Here, Jesus, as the Son of God, is protecting and guiding them through the difficulties that surrounded them. And the story indicates that no sooner had Jesus boarded the boat than it immediately reached the shore, an action that some see as being part of the miracle. But needless to say, the truth of the matter is that in desperate circumstances, Jesus provided security and safety for his followers. So what can we learn and apply from this story? And we see, first of all, that Jesus brings reassurance. The disciples were being obedient to going where Jesus told them to go, across the waters to Bethsaida. But they found themselves in a place of difficulty and uncertainty. They felt they had been left on their own and abandoned, but Jesus came to them and removed their fear. Do you feel in your life that you have responded to the call of God? You believe you are where he wants you to be, yet a storm is around you, and you are wondering how you might cope. You are wondering whether you heard God clearly. Obedience to God doesn't mean a stress-free life, but know today that, like the disciples in this story, Jesus comes alongside you and will lead you to a place of security and safety. Around Easter earlier this year, we took our 5-year-old grandson to Clifton. At one point, the conversation went like this. I said, "Is the Easter Bunny real?" "No." "Is Father Christmas real?" "No." "And the Tooth Fairy isn't real either." So I said, "What is real?" And he said, "Jesus is real, and chocolate eggs and pizza." He's getting there. Someone with his priorities right. Jesus is real. He is alive, and he comes alongside us day by day. He is alongside you this morning. He will work in your life through your difficulties, and he will increase your faith as a result. Do not give up. Be faithful to your calling. Trust in his words to you. You see, in the storms of life, we can trust Jesus. The disciples allowed their imaginations to run riot, to be fearful, to be influenced by local superstition. In the fear of the moment, they were panicking. And quite often in our lives, we allowed our imaginary difficulties to influence what we are facing. We find our thoughts racing away. We imagine scenarios in our minds that are never likely to happen, and we find ourselves reacting to them, which then guides our actions in the present. The situation then becomes worse, and we find ourselves paralyzed by fear. And we need to deal this morning in the absolute truth of what Jesus says to us. It is I. Don't be afraid. And Satan will always try to put questions and doubts into our minds. Does God really say this? Are you sure this is true? What if, but maybe? And in John chapter 10, Jesus recognizes this activity of the enemy and refutes it with his calm authority. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Do not worry about things that are untrue and lead you down an alternative path to that which Jesus wants for you. Take his words at face value and allow them to shape and to mould your life. What storms are you currently facing? Perhaps you experience a difficulty in a relationship or with your health. You might feel totally and absolutely overwhelmed with what is going on in the world at the moment. You might be needing a particular answer to prayer that you've been praying a long time. Jesus comes to you wherever you are this morning and says, "It is I. Don't be afraid." He calls you to look to him and trust him. He will work his purposes out in your life. I've been reading the story of Deborah Veal, who in 2002 rowed single-handedly across the Atlantic Ocean. There came a situation during her 111-day marathon where, because of tiredness, constant battling with the waves and headwinds, and a near miss with a huge container ship, these circumstances eventually took their toll, and she was on the verge of giving up. However, through a satellite telephone conversation with her sister, she made a breakthrough and found the mental strength to keep going. Part of that was to focus on the words, "Choose your attitude." She fixed them to the boat's dashboard and would focus on them each morning. In the storms of life, will you have an attitude that says, "I will trust in Jesus, come what may"? See, what you need to do is like Jesus, like the disciples, invite Jesus to come on board. Being a Christian does not exempt us from problems and difficulties. Jesus' disciples had just experienced a place of great blessing and now difficulty. They were in a place of literal darkness and could not find a way out. It came when they were least expecting it. And often in life for us, hardship comes when we least expect it. But take hope from the words in verse 21 of this chapter in John. Jesus walked towards them, offering words of comfort, and then they were willing to take him into the boat. For them to reach a place of safety, they had to be willing to trust in Jesus, to let go of their fears, and to respond in faith and let him into their boats and lives. They were struggling to make headway against the waves in their own strength. It was not until Jesus came on board that they made progress. Are you willing today to let go of what you are processing, struggling to work through, and allow Jesus to lead and direct you? Are you willing to let him on board and redirect your thoughts and lives? If you do, he will never let you down and will navigate you safely and securely through all the storms of life that you face. He gave his life on a cross that you might know release from the sins of the past and a new hope, beginning and spiritual life in God's presence. Will you let go of your fears and worries and trust him today? A father was sitting watching television when his little boy came running over. "Dad, can you play with me?" He enjoys playing with his son and plans to give him plenty of time. "But not just yet. Soon, son, soon," says Dad, "when this program finishes." 2 minutes later, the lad returns again. "Dad, is it time to play yet?" He realizes he's not going to get any peace, so he decides to set his son a task that will take some time. He notices a picture of the world on the front page of the newspaper lying in front of him. He tears the picture out, then rips it into small pieces. "Now, son, I've got a game for you. Take the pieces of this picture of the world and put them back together again, and then we'll play together." The little boy eagerly takes the pieces away with him and sets to work. Dad's relieved. He'll get to see the last half hour of his TV program. But to his amazement, the boy is back in less than 5 minutes. "I finished, Dad. Can we play now?" Father is stunned when he turns around to see his son holding up the picture of the world, each piece sticky taped into the right position. He begins wondering whether he has a child prodigy on his hands. "How did you get it done so quickly?" he asks. "That would have taken me a good 20 minutes, and I'm an adult." "Oh, it was easy, Dad. On the back of the world was a picture of a person. So I put the person together, and that's when the world came together." How do you put the world together? How do you make sense of your world and find your way through it? Jesus is the face on the other side of the puzzle. He enables us to make sense of our life and our world and to find a path through it. If you let Jesus have first place in your life, everything else will begin to make sense. He says to you this morning, "It is I. Don't be afraid. Trust him. He won't let you down." Let's pray. Let's be still for a moment and in the quietness of our own hearts, thank the Lord for the precious gift of Jesus. Just come into the presence of the Lord with those words as a prayer on our hearts. "It is I. Don't be afraid." God of healing, God of wholeness, we bring our brokenness, our sinfulness, our fears and despair, and lay them at your feet. God of healing, God of wholeness, we hold out hearts and hands, minds and souls to feel your touch and know the peace that only you can bring. God of healing, God of wholeness, this precious moment in your presence and power, grant us faith and confidence that here broken lives are made whole. We do just pray this, Father, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.